doesn't believe he ever really lost the title because Styles had to resort to a low.
What the?
No!
You gotta be kidding me.
James Ellsworth suddenly appearing.
He was thrown out of the building by Dean Ambrose himself. What is wrong with this turtle without a shell?
Kid, you gotta get out of here. Take your chin and go home.
I like turtles.
Whoa. Whoa. Yo. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
I got a lot on my head. Gucci rags out on my head. Put a red dot on your head. I put that guap on your head. Don't be talking to me crazy. Don't be talking to me crazy. Don't be talking to me crazy. Don't be talking to me crazy.
So, JB, I have a question for you.
I got an answer for you.
Do you watch Black Mirror?
All the time.
So don't spoil anything. Like, I literally had never heard of the show before, like, 3 days ago. And so the guy I work with, who I'm really cool with, he told me about it. So I'm only into, like, the third episode of the first season. And I literally, it's like, it's hard for me to pull away and watch it. It's whoever writes that shit needs...
Who's your favorite character so far?
I like the second episode, the one that had the chick who was singing. Are you talking about the same show I'm talking about? Black Mirror, the show from the UK or whatever. It's kind of like Twilight Zone.
Yeah, it's like English show. It's like 3-4 years old now.
Yeah. It's like every episode has a different set of characters, but. That second episode completely fucked me up. Like, there's just everything in it just completely fucked me up. But
yeah. Isn't it messed up how Sonya died?
Sonya? Who's Sonya?
She's one of the chicks in the show.
I don't think we're talking about the same show, JB.
Yeah, man, Black Mirror.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's called Black Mirror, right?
Yeah, it's Black Mirror. It's an anthology show. So, like, every episode has a different set of characters and
right. It's like different. What season are you on right now?
I'm still on episode one. I've only watched through the third episode. So there's someone named Sonya. I don't know if I've seen her yet.
Oh no, she hasn't come yet.
But nonetheless.
So why'd you say not spoil anything?
Because I want to go in fresh because it's. I didn't know what to expect coming into the show, like, at all. Not even a little bit. And so what I've gotten so far, it's been amazing.
Nice. I'm just kidding. I never even heard of this show. my joke didn't work either because it's not an episodic show. So I was actually on IMDb about to look up a character and say, oh, yeah, that character died. But then I found out that it's new episodes it's always new episodes.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
So the first episode, get this, the very first episode, it's set in the UK, as I said, so the prime minister, like, it was like some princess got kidnapped, and the people who kidnapped her had a ransom. All they wanted to do was to see the prime minister fuck a pig on national TV.
What?
So the whole episode is the prime minister trying to come up with ways. And at one point, you know, his advisors or whatever, they're like, well, if they do kill the princess, our polls show that the public will still be behind you. One of the prime minister's, like, right-hand women or whatever tried to fake the video or whatever. So the hostage people, the people who were holding hostage, found out and then sent a message out to, like, the whole world saying that he tried to cheat them, he tried to con them. And then so they did another poll, and then his right-hand guy, his advisor, was like, okay, well, now if you don't fuck the pig, you're going to get voted out, and the whole public's going to be go against you. He's like, I'm not doing it. And then basically his party threatened him. They're like, we're not going to protect your family if you don't do this. So it ended with the dude, the prime minister, actually fucking the pig on national TV.
Wow. Somehow I feel like Bob and Jeet were behind that.
Like, and get this, though. Then the terrorists released the girl before he even fucked the pig, just to prove a point that the whole world would be not pay attention to what's going on. So he didn't even have to do it. It's fucking twisted, man.
Is that on Netflix? That's not on Netflix, right?
Yes, it's on Netflix. Just search
it is.
Black Mirror, like, for real, it'll creep you the hell out, man.
Well, I just finished watching Orange is the New Black, and I just finished the last season, and I'm about to start Narcos probably tomorrow.
Oh, no, I love Narcos. Narcos is good. Narcos is amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we... God, this is just going to be a wonderful pre-show. We're talking about pig fucking and... But let's go ahead and start the show. You ready?
Absolutely.
Girls, welcome to the Wrestling World Podcast Network. And you have your boy, as always, CEO Hayes here. And, you know, I only have one call today, but we're going to have fun nonetheless. JB, tell the people what's going on.
How's it going, WWPN Universe? Ready to talk some SmackDown tonight.
Yeah, and what was an entertaining episode? I have my problems with it. We'll get into it as we get into the review. But, Just a little sneak peek before we break it all the way down. Did you enjoy this episode of SmackDown?
As always, I absolutely enjoyed SmackDown. We're going to get into it, obviously, piece by piece. But I absolutely enjoyed SmackDown much better than anything Raw had to offer.
So I have to ask you a question here. And this is just something that I want to pick your brain on. So we know that Raw's ratings have been going down, and SmackDown's have not really been going up either. They've been going down also. And I wanted to pose this question to you. Do you think because of how bad Raw usually is, it completely wears down the fans tuning in the very next night to watch SmackDown, and that's why SmackDown ratings aren't higher than Raw's, even though it's a better show?
Absolutely, because, you know, if Raw's supposed to be quote-unquote the flagship program, and if the flagship program is not entertaining, it's not going to make people want to watch anything else on the show. I mean, with the product, no one's going to want to watch SmackDown, no one's going to want to watch NXT, etc. So the stronger the Raw product is, I think it'll feed off of SmackDown. But I do hope, for anyone who thinks like that, please just give SmackDown, give the blue brand a chance, because it's a lot of good stuff. You're not going to get the best wrestling out of SmackDown, but I've come, and this is why I think a lot of people don't like SmackDown, because they're not taking it for what it is. SmackDown is not an all-out wrestling show. The purpose of SmackDown is to build the storylines at their pay-per-views, where you get the blow-off and the good matches. It's just for storyline purposes, and once I had, you know, accepted that fact, I've been enjoying the show a lot more.
Yeah, very true. It's like you said, it's not just wrestling. It's an actual show. It's entertaining. And, you know, I mean, we talked about maybe even a month ago, that we had that episode of SmackDown where there was literally, I think, like two matches. But it was a great episode. So, you know, that's just a testament to their writing. And SmackDown is very well written. It's just been awesome since the split. But we get... To open up SmackDown today, we get James Ellsworth in the ring, which then brings out Dean Ambrose, then AJ Styles. Eventually, a match is made for tonight, and that is AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. Ellsworth is banned from ringside. Just when we got this, did you automatically think that that meant that Dean Ambrose was going over?
Yeah, I mean, I knew from 2 weeks ago Dean Ambrose is going to go over, because it's obvious. I mean, who else is left? Who else is going to have to go against AJ? So we talked about it. I knew eventually Dean Ambrose is going to go over. If not this week, then something's going to happen next week, and eventually he's going to go over. But once everything was set up the way it was, you know, I even tweeted out, I'm sure we're going to see Ellsworth in the main event. And sure enough, we saw Ellsworth. We'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, I kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, this is wrestling 101. You kind of know what's going to happen if you've been a wrestling fan long enough with certain stuff like this comes up. Nonetheless, though, Ellsworth, I'll get into how we ended the show as Ellsworth, but this guy is gold. Like, I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about all the qualms that certain people have with him and, you know, just shit that they want to talk about him. This guy is entertaining, and I think there's absolutely a place for him on SmackDown going forward. I want to see them sign this guy. I don't know if they have for sure or not. You hear rumors kind of back and forth both ways, but I want to see Ellsworth there. Ellsworth definitely, he has to be in the Rumble, doesn't he? He has to be in the Rumble.
Absolutely. Ellsworth needs to be in the Royal Rumble. He needs to draw number one and be there at the end, last five, I think.
Do you want to see him pull a Ric Flair?
Absolutely. No chin music all over the place.
Oh, man, that would be wildly entertaining. Next, though, a no DQ match between Randy Orton and Kane. And what I'll say about this is that when this match was made, when I saw that this was going to happen, I was kind of taken aback. You just don't see no DQ matches on WWE television too much nowadays. This pretty much went also the way that I expected. The Wyatts came out. They helped Randy Orton. And, you know, we're going to go ahead and add in what happened later in the show. So after this, later down the road, Randy Orton did defeat Kane. But later in the show, we got Randy Orton backstage with the Wyatts. They did a weird thing with his eyes glowing gold, and then also, you know, he said that Wyatt is a god. So Randy Orton, as it seems, is now a Wyatt. How long do you think that they can keep this going? Do you think this is all a ploy for Randy Orton to get one final leg up on Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, I think they're going to milk it for a couple weeks, maybe even through Survivor Series, and eventually maybe at Survivor Series or the week after Survivor Series, we'll get the blow off. I think it's going to be a whole ploy, as I mentioned several weeks ago, from Randy Orton, and he's going to eventually turn on the Wyatt family, if you want to call it a turn. And it's going to be that, you know, he was playing them and trying to get into their heads, et cetera, et cetera. But I just want to touch a little bit on the match itself. I didn't like the fact that they made this a no GQ. No DQ, like you said, it's something that's supposed, it's kind of a rare thing and, you know, kind of special, and to put in a feud that has a lot of heat towards it and continue to build the fire of a feud. I understand this, you know, I understand that Kane and Randy Orton have a little thing going on, but it certainly didn't call for a no DQ. I understand the reason they made it a no DQ is so the Wyatts could interrupt in the match, but really it didn't have to be a no DQ for that ending to happen anyway. It should have just been that way. Referee distracted or whatever you want to call it. Lights go out and Kane is out, or however you want to put it. So I don't like them throwing out those type of stipulations that should be left for a later time or a better time. So kind of disappointed, especially when you have no DQs 2 weeks in a row. Other than that, I'm fine with everything else.
So what? So you said they may milk it for a couple of weeks, maybe until TLC, which I can agree with also. But the Wyatts, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Wyatts nor Randy Orton have been added to any of the Survivor Series matches. So what do you think is done with them at Survivor Series? Do you think they kind of just sit this one out?
Actually, Daniel Bryan named Randy Orton as well as Bray Wyatt on the team, on the Survivor Series team.
So I missed that. Good. So that's awesome. Oh, which is going to be interesting because Braun Strowman is on the Raw team. So
right.
What happens there? That's going to be interesting the first time we get to see Braun Strowman on the opposite side from the other Wyatts. Like, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good moment. If you can remember a while back when you got the Shield, they were in the ring, and it was the Wyatt family in the ring, and the crowd went insane. Well, I don't think it's going to be the same insane. I think it'll get a little pop from the crowd when Braun Strowman's in the ring with Bray Wyatt, because I think it will happen at some point. I'm hoping they don't just ignore the two in the ring. I'm hoping that they do meet up just, you know, to see the fan reaction on that. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, I mean, hopefully Raw doesn't poison any good SmackDown storylines a little too much, but we'll see what happens there. Next, though, I want to mention, we got a Baron Corbin video package, and this makes week two since Daniel Bryan said he was going to have something for Baron Corbin the following week. We're now 2 weeks without Daniel Bryan making anything for Baron Corbin. How do you feel about it? Did this video package at all, did it just make you remember the fact that we didn't get anything, or did it actually say, hey, you know, I kind of missed this guy? What did this do for you?
Well, you know, I absolutely don't like Baron Corbin, but after his Talking Smack segment a few weeks ago, I kind of said, okay, I can see a little bit something inside of him. Now, when it came to this package, I thought the package was done really well, and it makes me want to anticipate and anxious to see what we get from him. So I'm actually, it did what it was supposed to do, at least with me. Now I can't wait to see what happens next week. I hope we actually do get to see him next week. So I'm fine with him not being on the show. They want to do a little bit of a tease. I'm teased, so we'll see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I just wish there was a bigger threat, even just have him have a squash match or something, you know. I mean, he's just been off TV since your freaking commissioner said, hey, I'm going to have something for him next week, and it's just not been anything since then. So,
right.
We'll see what they do. I tend to trust SmackDown's storytelling, so I'm pretty sure when they do pick it back up, it'll be like we never missed anything.
Well, Do keep in mind, because you might have missed this little part, they did announce the SmackDown team, which basically consists of AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose, Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt, and Baron Corbin. So he was announced to be as far as, you know, part of the team SmackDown. So at least we'll get him in Survivor Series, and I'm sure we're going to see more of him in the upcoming weeks building up to Survivor Series.
That just made me think of something even more so. So earlier we mentioned Bray and Braun being in the match together. But I now want to see Braun and Baron Corbin go one-on-one there for a second. So, in that match, let's just talk. You just announced that match. And we don't know. I don't think we know exactly who's going to be on the Raw side of things, though. Who's going to be Who's going to be the sole survivor in that match?
As you mean the overall match?
Overall match.
Well, the way things have been going right now, I can probably see Braun Strowman surviving the entire thing. I don't know if he'll be a sole survivor, but I could see Team Raw winning. I don't think Vince is going to want SmackDown to go over on this one just because, you know, Vince Raw, that's his baby. And I could see something where, like, AJ Styles and Ambrose start fighting outside and, you know, they just forget about the match and go on and, you know, I could see something like that happening, or maybe with Orton and Wyatt, I don't know. But I think at the end, and maybe Corbin, I could see something like Corbin just saying, fuck everybody, and just walking away. He's the lone wolf, so he's just like, screw everybody, and just walks away and leaves the team, a la Bad News Brown from the 80s. So I could see something like that. So Braun Strowman, it really is a heavy favorite for me to win this match.
Yeah, I mean, I like that pick. We'll see. If that usually your predictions are usually on point, which I hate you for, because it's starting to get to the point now when you predict something, I just take it as it's going to happen, because that's just been your track record lately, you bastard. Well,
I was way off with friggin' Hell in a Cell with the Sasha Banks match. I'm so still pissed about that.
Yeah, but you know, there was rumors that was a last minute change. I don't know what they did there, but. You and Andrew killed that review, by the way. Anybody who has not checked it out, definitely check out our Hell in the Cell review hosted by JB and the Andrew Bello. They killed it in my absence, so I'm very grateful to that. Next, though, Nikki Bella and Becky Lynch versus Carmella and Alexa Bliss. What I have to say about this match, it had a nice amount of length. I think the match came in at right at 6 minutes. But the heels go over here. And that promo they did after the fact, that whole interaction with team, it just made me want to see more of Alexa Bliss and Carmella together. How'd you feel about the match itself, and also the promo that we got afterwards with Alexa and Carmella burying the whole Raw women's roster? Like, Carmella just ran through that whole roster, even gave it to Charlotte. It was one of my more impressed times with Carmella on the mic. How'd you feel?
Yeah, I feel like this is one of Carmella's high points as far as, you know, mic sessions. She did a really good job. Alexa, as always, continues to impress me week after week. I can't speak more than I've already spoken over the last couple weeks. She just continues to impress me week after week. You know, her heelish gimmick and just every little thing she does, all the little details. I'm so over on this woman, and I cannot wait for her to get her actual run, because it'll eventually happen. They can't, someone with this much talent, I'm not saying she's the best in the ring, I'm not saying she's best on the mic, but it all works together. Her character all works together, so she's going to, they can't stop her. She's going to eventually have a run. So I enjoyed the segment, and, you know, once again, a good segment from Alexa, and also, surprisingly, a great segment from Carmella. So we'll see what happens. What I'm really hoping, not only in this women's thing, but even the men's, maybe even the tag team, I'm hoping that we get some kind of cross promotion type thing, like, you know, maybe SmackDown guys show up on Raw, or Raw guys show up on SmackDown, vice versa. You think we get anything like that? Would you like to see anything like that?
Well, I mean, what I will say to that is that Dolph Ziggler did issue an open challenge to the whole Raw roster for his IC title. So I definitely feel you there that they're going that way. I think we're going to, leading up to this pay-per-view, we're going to start seeing people show up on other people's shows. What I don't hope, what I hope that doesn't happen is Dolph Ziggler loses that IC title to somebody on Raw. Like, please don't let that happen.
No, I don't see that happening because they have the US title and SmackDown has the IC title. So I don't think, I don't see that happening at all. So I don't think we have to worry about that. Hopefully. But with WWE booking, you never know.
Yeah, true. So back to the Carmella's promo here. After, while I'm watching this promo, this is what's sad and what worries me about WWE booking is after that promo that she cut that made her seem legit and like a badass, how much do you want to bet she's the first one eliminated in the Women's Survivor Series match?
I don't know. Although if it does happen, I will absolutely not be surprised at all. But I don't think she'll be the first one, and I'm sure they'll have some you know other people to go ahead and go under first. I don't see her being one of the first ones. However, like I said, if it does happen, I won't be surprised in the least.
Yeah. So well, okay. So let's see who's on the SmackDown side. It's Alexa, Carmella, Nikki Bella, Becky Lynch, and Naomi.
Right.
I definitely don't see Nikki Bella going first. I don't think
Naomi.
Becky Lynch is. Yeah, it has to be Naomi. If it's
Black
not Carmella.
Black lives do not matter in WWE. Can I just really say that? Controversial statement by Prodigal One, JB.
Oh, man. The Prodigal One. I don't know how to respond to that. But, you know,
moving
I mean,
forward,
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully someone for Raw is eliminated first. Next, though, in this show, we get Shane and Daniel Bryan talking backstage. And that's when they announced that Naomi was going to join the team. But what I want to also talk about, since we're talking about the women's division here, is that it was announced that Natalya is actually going to be the coach of the SmackDown Women's team for Survivor Series. And on Talking Smack, since we do wait to record this after Talking Smack so we can talk about it, like, I don't know what they're doing. Who backstage hates Natalya? Like, what did she do? Whose cat did she run over? Like, what happened? Because she's too talented for this, in my opinion. She's terrible on the mic. So they keep putting her on the mic. Like, why? You keep putting her in a situation where she has to talk, and that's not her strength. How do you feel, JB?
Right now, I feel like they're treating Natalya like shit. And I'm going to tell you why. First of all, she has more than enough talent to be in that match. Number two, and I know I'm jumping forward a little bit, the Talking Smack segment, I think they completely embarrassed her. And I don't even know if that was scripted or not. I mean, she came and they kind of like threw her offside, like, okay, yeah. And then when she left, Daniel Bryan was like, okay, I have a headache. Again, I have no idea if that was scripted or not, or he just added that in. But I think they're treating her like shit. And but at this point, for her, it's probably like, hey, you know what? It's a paycheck. And really, what are you going to do? You can't go against it. You know, it's the machine. You have to do what the machine says. So I think they could be using her a lot better. I'd like to actually see her as a real coach. Or, you know, if they can't use her on screen, use her as a coach, but not make a mockery out of it. Have her work with the young girls at NXT and, you know, teach them. Because she's still good in-ring talent. She could teach a lot of the new girls a lot of stuff. So at least use her in that way off screen and not drive her through the mud anymore. Because that's what it looks like. I mean, they're ever doing all these stupid things. She's singing song lyrics. This week we had like RESPCT. It's just, you know, I don't know if it's supposed to come across as entertaining, but it's not.
No, it just comes across as awkward. And then on top of that, it's not just what they're having her say. It's the fact that she doesn't deliver lines. That she doesn't do comedy well. Like, just be honest. She doesn't do comedy well at all. She's awkward. It always seems forced when she tries to do comedy. I don't know. I would like to see more being done with her. I can't wait till her contract is up or whatever, and she can sign a contract to just go to the Performance Center and train or something like that, because they're just not using her correctly at all. Next match we get is American Alpha versus the Spirit Squad. In this match, is the winners get to join Heath Slater and Rhino to be on the SmackDown Survivor Series tag team. And here's the thing. I did not know. Did you know previous to this that it was going to be 10 men on each side of this tag team Survivor Series match? Because that right there, it means that literally every SmackDown tag team is probably going to have to be in the match.
Not necessarily. It's going to be 5-on-5. But yeah, it's going to be like 5 tag teams on Raw, 5 on SmackDown.
Yeah, but that's SmackDown only has 5 good tag teams.
Well, here's what I wanted to talk about. And I might be jumping forward a little bit, but as of right now, we have the Hype Bros, we have the tag champs, Heath Slater and Rhino, and, you know, as we're going to talk about, American Alpha won, so they're also in the match. So we have 3 tag teams. Now there's 2, and actually the Usos won their match, so the Usos are also in it.
So that's 8 men.
Right, we have 1 more slot left. Now, the slot will go to either The Ascension, which I think will go to The Ascension. They also have Vaudevillains, and God knows where these guys are, Breezango. It's probably going to go to The Ascension just based on what we've been seeing the last couple of weeks. But what I wanted to say is the fact that they have to use the Headbangers, who were around like Attitude Era and friggin' Spirit Squad, it shows the depth of the SmackDown tag roster, and it shows actually what WWE think as the Vaudevillains and Breezango. I say those two teams because I think those are the two teams who are going to miss out. What WWE thinks about these two tag teams? They're like, I understand you don't want them to go to Survivor Series. At least put them in a qualifying match. But we're getting Headbangers over Vaudevillains. We're getting Headbangers over Breezango. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the thing is I know you said that you think the Ascension is going to fill that last spot, but the Ascension lost their qualifying match to the Hype Bros last week.
Oh, did they? Okay, that's my fault. So it has to be the Vaudevillains.
Yeah, I doubt if it's Breezango because they've just, you know, not been on TV literally at all. But
actually, another question then: if the Vaudevillains do get in and it's supposed to be a qualifying match, who the hell do they beat? Sin Cara and Kalisto?
It's probably going to be, Sin Cara is on Raw, so it's not going to be them. So it's going to have to be Breezango. Like, unless they plan on giving someone a quote-unquote second chance, it has to be Breezango, unless they just plan on throwing a random team together. So, I mean, that's, and it's funny, because, you know, on Talking Smack, Daniel Bryan kept making the joke about Raw bringing back people from the Attitude Era, yet we have
the freaking Headbangers.
Exactly. So I don't know what that's all about. I guess he forgot that point. But yeah, it's the tag division. I just don't know what to say there. The match between American Alpha and the Spirit Squad, though, I am honestly finding myself enjoying the Spirit Squad more and more.
Wow. Like, I just said that.
I am, like, for what they're doing. Like, if, like you said, if you want to protect your tag teams, you have to have a tag team that you aren't afraid to let get beat on TV every single week. So the Spirit Squad could feel that as well as just doing goofy shit. I mean, they don't need a storyline at all. They're dicks. They're going to get heat. I don't mind them at all on my TV. This match here was 2 minutes. American Alpha went over with the Grand Altitude. Did you enjoy this match?
Well, I mean, it was 2 minutes, so there was not much to enjoy. But let me say, that Jordan belly-to-belly suplex on Spirit Squad member number 1 or 2, whoever the hell it was, holy shit. Did you see that? The belly-to-belly suplex, he completely flung him across the ring. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah. Jordan, like I said, Brock Lesnar is called, what, the fifth mayor of Suplex City? Jason Jordan is going to be that next mayor of Suplex City very soon. The guy is amazing. You know, everybody talks about Big Cass eventually getting a run at the world title. Mark my words, 3 to 4 years from now, Jason Jordan is going to be in that title picture.
Yeah, I can see that, absolutely.
Yeah,
so, he has the look.
Exactly. Let's just hope that black people matter by then in WWE.
Absolutely.
Next, my favorite segment of the night. And we finally got to see Daniel Bryan give The Miz some shit back. And that is Miz TV with Daniel Bryan as the special guest. JB, this segment here, just how do you feel about it? Did you love it?
Well, you already know and everyone knows how I feel about The Miz. I'm absolutely a big Miz fan. So I absolutely loved the segment. I loved Daniel Bryan's side of it. I love Miz's side of it. It was entertaining. You know, we got to see some fire from Daniel Bryan, which we normally don't see too much of. You know, he threw the chair, and you know, it was a all around done well segment. Probably the segment, I'd go out to say it's the segment of the night, best segment of the night. So I thoroughly enjoyed it. Two of my favorite guys, Daniel Bryan and Miz. It was good stuff from them. How about you? Did you like it at all?
I absolutely loved this segment. Just, you know, Daniel Bryan finally just flipping shit, throwing chairs around, saying that Miz is a coward, you know, saying that they didn't pick him for the Survivor Series team because he wants to fight on his terms. They need people who fight on their terms, who are not afraid. Like, everything here was just, he was on fire. And the Miz's just facial reactions to it were gold. I just wish that this was going to pay off for the match between the two. Like, and it just, it pains me that it's not.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. Well, that's still yet to be seen. Chances are probably not. But we'll see. But I will say, when during this segment, I did get a little pissed off because after Daniel Bryan named the SmackDown team, immediately I was like, what the fuck? There is no Dolph Ziggler on this team. There is no there's no Miz. And then I'm like, oh, okay, I see what they're doing here. So hopefully we get a one-on-one match with Miz and Dolph Ziggler. I mean, these guys can honestly fight 100 times, and I will not argue. I will not complain because they continuously have great matches. As long as they're given the right amount of time, they have very entertaining matches. So I absolutely do not mind them seeing this again in Survivor Series. Hell, you know, throwing some kind of stipulation in there, a street fight, a ladder match, something. Because when I was saying earlier that those special stipulation matches should be in really heated feuds, this has been a really heated feud. So why not throw in a stipulation in there? So I'm hoping we get something good out of it.
Yeah, for sure. These two, it's just, and people will say that they're tired of it or whatever else. It's so entertaining to me. I don't think I could ever get tired of Dolph Ziggler and The Miz. And as I said earlier, after this, Daniel Bryan called out Dolph Ziggler. He told The Miz that Dolph Ziggler was going to have an open challenge for his IC title. And so Dolph Ziggler comes out, and his opponent, Curt Hawkins. And in the month, the 2 months they've been building up this guy's return, he gets beat in 8 seconds with a super kick. Technically, they kept saying this is his debut. This is not his debut. I believe he had a match on either Superstars or Main Event this past weekend and lost there too. So, JB, what I have to ask you is, this months of buildup for Curt Hawkins and for it all to culminate in an 8 second match for the IC title, no less, why did WWE waste our time with this shit?
Before I even go into that, I want it to be known right now, live on MixLR, in front of all of our WWPN universe, that you, CEO Hayes, the boss, the man with the skills that pays the bills, you owe me an apology, because I told you guys weeks ago that Hawkins is going to be nothing but a comedic character, and you guys were like, oh no, he's going to be doing all these vignettes. Come on, we know Hawkins wasn't going to be shit. So when he came out and this happened, I was like, this is ridiculous. And was the actual time 8 seconds, or did you just say that? Because it felt like it was like 3 seconds.
No, it was an eight. I'm looking at the official. It was marked as an 8 second win via pin.
Gotcha. So it's probably one of the top five quickest matches ever. 8 seconds. I believe Bob Backlund and Diesel, that their world title match was 8 seconds. So, yeah, Curt Hawkins is going to be nothing more than a joke.
It's, why the fuck did they waste our time with all that? They could have had him debut the next night to do that shit. Like, it's, and as soon as he came out, I'm just like, no. Like, why? But, you know, nonetheless, it is what it is. After the win, as I said,
I only have one.
Go ahead.
I have one theory about why they did the vignettes, and maybe the only theory I have that can make any possible sense is the person, whoever did those video packages, was new, and they needed somebody to practice on, and that's why they did it. That's the only logical theory I can have. It's a stupid-ass theory, but it's the only logical theory, because I can't think of any other reason why they would put in so much time and effort into building a character only to have him debut and be a joke.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's WWE booking. They're going to always do something that you just look at and you're just like, what the fuck? Speaking of what the fuck, next, the Usos versus the Headbangers. And JB, what I will say here, the Headbangers in 2016 have now been on our TV twice. once they were in a tournament for the world, the SmackDown tag team titles, and now they were in a match to get into Survivor Series. So what I'm going to say to you and what I'm going to propose to you is, what should be our tag team name and gimmick? Because obviously we can get a job at SmackDown Live and do better than the Headbangers did. Your thoughts. Come on. What's our name?
Let's see. What's a good name? Because if the Headbangers are getting booked, why the hell can't we get booked is what I'm thinking.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. What could be a name? How about we have our listeners pick a team name for us?
Team Fuck This Booking. That's going to be our team name.
How about Team What The Fuck?
WTF. But so obviously the Usos go over here. This match was 1 minute and 35 seconds. Again, I have nothing left to say about it. If you want to talk about it, go ahead. Because otherwise, I'm going to flip the bird to this match. We're going to move on.
I wonder if the Knicks are winning right now.
Yeah, the Knicks, you know, that would be more entertaining than the fucking Headbangers. By the way, have you seen my Bulls? Have you seen my Bulls who, before the season, everyone wanted to say, how are they going to score? We are averaging the fourth highest point per game average in the NBA right now.
Woohoo! 1 week into the season. Woohoo!
Fuck you, JB.
Oh, shit. We lost 89-102. Fuck.
Yes.
Why do all my teams suck ass?
Well, you the know Jets, what? I mean, you
Mets,
guys.
The Knicks.
Between your three top stars, you have one good knee between the three of them. So
if that.
So it's bound to happen that way. Like, I mean, for all intents, like, I'm sorry, we're getting into a whole side conversation, but you know, as I said, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. So you guys have Derrick Rose, who's honestly been playing pretty good this season. The only thing is, how long are those knees going to hold up? Over or under 35 games before Derrick Rose gets hurt?
Under. But I think he'll play over 35 games for the season. But I think inside 35 games, he'll get injured at some point.
He'll get injured? Yeah. He's probably going to play. Hopefully, he can make 50 games this season. I hope so. But
I love that.
Yeah, I still believe in Derrick. I still think he can be very successful. Just God, those knees. Anyway, let's move on back to wrestling. Sorry for the aside, people. But the next match is our main event, and that is AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose. And before the match, Dean Ambrose kicked Ellsworth out the stadium, locked him out because he did not want him to interfere in this match. That's going to come back to play back in later because somebody in SmackDown's writing actually knows the technique that Raw is missing, which is foreshadowing. But nonetheless, this match, I would have to say this is very near pay-per-view quality. Do you agree?
Are you joking?
I love this match. You did not like this match? This was easily a three-star match for me.
Yes, but how could you say a three-star match is pay-per-view quality?
Well, that's Raw pay-per-view quality.
That's a different story. Don't get me wrong. I love the match. Match of the night. Was it a pay-per-view quality match? I don't think so. I think no. But it was a good match. Best match of the night. Best match. Really, from the last hour of SmackDown was better than anything Raw had all week, in my opinion. The whole last hour of Raw was really, of SmackDown was really entertaining to me. But yeah, I mean, I love this match. I love the way they had Ellsworth come in. And like you were saying, it's an element missing from the Raw brand. You know, they do a lot of foreshadowing. They do a lot of teasing. And rather than just throwing everything all at, you know, down your throats, they kind of milk a little bit, which is crazy considering they only have 2 hours to do this, whereas Raw has a whole extra hour and they don't do it on their show. And I say it week after week, Raw does not utilize their 3 hours properly, where SmackDown utilizes the 2 hours they have beautifully. They cut their matches a little bit shorter. But like I said, SmackDown is there to build storylines and continue their feuds. You get the great matches at their pay-per-views.
Yeah, their SmackDown's pay-per-views have just been killing it all year. Well, not all year, but since the brand split. What I will say about this match is the finish. Let's talk about the finish, and that is James Ellsworth comes out of the crowd from nowhere. and so Styles pounces on Ellsworth. But did he throw him over the announce table? Was that correct?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if he threw him over. I don't remember if it was over or just into it. But yeah, basically in that vicinity, that direction.
And then, so after that, he comes back into the ring, goes for the phenomenal forearm, which Dean Ambrose counters into the Dirty Deeds for the win. And what I will say about this is that the security then comes out and drags James Ellsworth out. That smile he had on his face, literally, I'm just looking at that the whole time. This guy is, like, they struck the gold mine when they found this guy. They honestly did. I know he's probably made more money than he's ever made in his career just in the last couple of months. But this match and the ending, how did you feel about the ending and also the whole Ellsworth getting involved here?
Absolutely fine with the ending. I kind of had a feeling it'd end up like that with Ellsworth getting involved. And really, I mean, anything with Ellsworth at this point is gold. I have no idea when they're going to actually sign him, if they already did sign him. But whatever they sign him for, it's going to be for a very small amount. I can pretty much guarantee that because, I mean, face it, Ellsworth, what else does he have going on? He's going to take anything at this point. But whatever they sign him for, I can guarantee the guy will be worth a lot more because, I'm sure his merch is selling. And everybody loves seeing him. He gets chants. He's super over with the crowd. So, you know, I'm hoping that we see more of him. I don't think we'll ever see him in a serious role ever. But I'm absolutely fine with him being the comedic relief on SmackDown every week. I have no problems with seeing that with the occasional match here and there. I'm enjoying the guy right now. I'm enjoying every minute of it. So I hope we keep getting it. How about you? Did you like him? Do you want to see more of him? Or do you think eventually it'll run its stint and he'll be gone?
No, I absolutely want to see more of Ellsworth. Like, it's going to eventually run its course. WWE, I don't think, can book a character like his well for very long. I think, you know, he has a shelf life of, at the most, a year. And even then, that's pushing it in WWE. Unless they can completely revamp his character and do some other stuff with him. But I would love to see him. Like you said, I want to see him in the Royal Rumble, in the Andre Memorial Battle Royal. Like, I just, things like that would be perfect for Ellsworth. And then he can also, you know, you can build a probably another month long program from both of those for him, just depending on what he has to have a surprise elimination. I would like to see him win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Not the actual Rumble, but that Battle Royal, I would love to see him win. Just, could you just imagine if Braun Strowman is, like, beating up on Sami Zayn and Ellsworth just comes from behind and eliminates both of them? Like, that would just be awesome. And you know what? It would be a perfect culmination of how he started getting by jobbing to Braun Strowman. Like, he has to either eliminate Strowman in the Rumble or in the Battle Royal this year. He has to do that.
Yeah, the way I would book it, I wouldn't have him winning the Battle Royal, and I don't think they're going to do that. It's just that because it's the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, they're never going to I'm not saying it's disrespectful to have Ellsworth win, but they're never going to put a character like that to win it. But what we need to see, and the way I would book it, you know, you're going to get some JB booking right now, is I would have him coming into the Royal Rumble, get his ass absolutely pounded the entire Royal Rumble for however long he's in. Maybe have him, like, you know, out in the corner just laid out, or maybe even outside the ring just laid out, like, just, you know, his shit is beat in. And at some point, have Braun Strowman come in, clear out the ring, whoever, maybe 5-6 guys, clear him out, and Braun Strowman is just, you know, taunting the crowd like he's the shit. Have Ellsworth get up and eliminate him. Because, like you said, it'll all come full circle. He's the guy who jobbed to Strowman, and now he eliminated Strowman in the Royal Rumble. And then, maybe even after that, have, like, you remember when Maven got eliminated by Undertaker, how Undertaker totally destroyed him afterwards?
Yeah.
Have something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely what I would like to see for him. And then, you know, it can kind of fade away. Maybe they can bring him back in a couple of months after that, a year after that, whatever. But, you know, I think his storyline has to culminate in him finally getting the upper hand on Braun Strowman in some kind of way before he, you know, ultimately just takes a ride off into the sunset. So looking at Survivor Series so far, what we have is, and Maybe I just didn't understand that this was it. So Survivor Series is going to be the Dolph Ziggler versus a member of the Monday Night Raw roster. They have that marked as being a Survivor Series match.
No, I didn't understand. I didn't hear that.
I'm looking at the card now, and this could be wrong. I'm looking at the card on Wikipedia, so they have the Survivor Series card up there. So this could have been edited by some retard, but it could also be the fact. Who do you think shows up on the Raw roster to compete against Dolph Ziggler?
So it'll have to be somebody who's good enough to fight Dolph, but not good enough to make the team. So who do we have? I don't know. It's a good question. Let me go on to the Raw roster and see who they have, because it's not going to be any of the big guys. Owens, Jericho, you know, those guys obviously are going to be part of the big match, the traditional Survivor Series match.
I would like to see, honestly, and it probably is not going to happen, but I'd like to see Sami Zayn.
I was just literally thinking that. Sami Zayn. I hope it's not some stupid shit like Bo Dallas.
Oh God! You just said that. Just gave me a fucking headache. You know what? It'll probably be Bo Dallas now that you said that.
Crap. Yeah, because really, honestly, who else? Okay, outside of Sami Zayn and Bo Dallas, tell me who else is there left.
I mean, there's always, and I guess Sheamus and Cesaro don't count either. They're probably because
I think they could. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So.
Titus O'Neil.
Now, are you trying to get me on another Titus O'Neil rant? Is that what you're trying to do right now? Because I think this. No, it's not. I'm not biting, man. I'm not. God, you suck for that.
If it were me, and I was in tune with my audience, which WWE is not, I would book Sami Zayn or even Adrian Neville. That's what I would do.
I would love, that's what I was going to say, I would absolutely love to see it be Neville. Like, honestly, I would love to see that happen, and that's probably why it's never going to happen. Neville, it just seems like they just, I don't know, like they just purposely want to make us forget about Neville as quick as they possibly can. But yeah, I think if I had to pick, I'm going to pick Sami Zayn. I obviously, they have Braun in the Survivor Series match, so it's not going to be Sami and Braun. I think, you know, Braun eliminating Sami, that's kind of the end of their storyline there. So I'm hoping it's Sami Zayn.
Yeah, because I'm looking up and down the roster, and really the only three choices are going to be either Zayn, Neville, Titus O'Neil. I mean, that's and Bo Dallas. Those are the only guys. No, there's nobody else left. Everybody else is going to be involved in the tag team match and then you have your cruiserweights, but yeah, they're not going to be involved in that.
Oh, you know what? Honestly, just thought about that. It's not going to happen, but Cedric Alexander. Could you imagine the match Dolph Ziggler and Cedric Alexander would have?
The fact that we would love that match is how I know they're not going to do it. I'm sure the cruiserweights are probably going to have their own thing. I don't know if they have enough to do a 4-on-4. Maybe like a pre-show type thing. I don't know if they have enough to do that. Maybe bring in some of the other guys. But since it's Survivor Series, it's supposed to be one of the big four, I don't know what we'll get. They haven't said anything about them. But I'm hoping they, you know, we have something good, not just like a 2-on-2 or something traditional.
Yeah, true. So then next we have, looking at Survivor Series, so we have the tag teams, which the Team SmackDown is Heath Slater and Rhino, the Hype Bros, American Alpha, the Usos, and to be determined, either the VOD Villains or Breezango. And all we know so far on the Raw side of things is the New Day, and that's it. It's just the New Day. So are you happy with SmackDown's roster there? I mean, that's kind of every tag team they have. It kind of is what it is there.
Yeah, I am happy because really, who else? I can't be unhappy because they have everybody else. What's interesting is I want to see who's going to be on Raw, because we're probably going to have Enzo and Big Cass. We have New Day already. We're probably going to have Goldust and R-Truth. Maybe Rich Swann and Cedric Alexander. I don't know. I don't know. But based on what we just talked about, I can't see how SmackDown's not going to go over into the tag team thing.
Yeah, SmackDown has to go over there, but, you know, we'll see. And the thing with Raw is they have a lot of, you know, if Sheamus and Cesaro on that team, they can completely implode at any moment. So, and just throw that whole thing for a loop. So hopefully the SmackDown team does go over there. Again, because we want it, it may not happen. Next yeah. is the women's. And so on the Raw side, all we know so far is Nia Jax, Charlotte, and Bayley. And then we pretty much have the whole SmackDown roster for the women. And that's Carmella, Becky Lynch, Nikki Bella, Alexa Bliss, and Naomi. I like the SmackDown women's team there. No matter, even though they have Nia Jax there, I like that. I like our team there. How do you feel, JP?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm big on, like, Alexa Bliss. We've said that. I've said that numerous times. You have Becky Lynch. So, I absolutely like the SmackDown team. I'm just trying to figure out who would be, like, the last couple people to fill out that women's team. Because they would have Bayley. They would have Nia Jax. They'd have Charlotte. I don't know if we'll get maybe Dana Brooke, probably. And one more, maybe Alicia Fox.
You think Emelina makes her debut?
Could be Emelina. Is the SmackDown could be Tamina as well. The SmackDown's all closed up, right?
Yeah, they're all locked up there.
Okay, so there goes our theory about Ava Marie coming back.
She just finished filming her movie. I think they just wrapped like yesterday. She sent out a tweet about it being wrapped up. So I would imagine it's only going to be probably a few weeks. She'll probably come back right after Survivor Series.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, again, looking at that, I absolutely see no way whatsoever that they let SmackDown win this one, only because Charlotte's involved. I feel like Charlotte, and I know this is not going to be a popular statement, but I feel like Charlotte's turning into, like, John Cena female version. And maybe it's just me being a little pissed off from the events from last night. I feel like they're giving her every big thing happening. She's getting it all. She's every little, you know, everything as far as like milestones, and it's all going to her. I mean, she's like 13-0 or something on pay-per-views, and you know, she was the NXT champion, and she was, you know, the first NXT champion women's, and just everything. I don't know. I don't like the way the character is going. Well, not the way the character is going, but I don't like the way that she's getting everything. It's just like John Cena, basically. So I'm kind of disliking the character just because they're doing that.
Yeah.
So for that reason, I see Raw is going to go over.
And now that they're actually mentioning the streak, her pay-per-view streak, as much as they are, it's probably going to be something they keep going for a while. That's usually how WWE does it.
Right.
And then absolutely. Yeah, and then so the final match, and what I wanted to say, I don't know if you've seen this rumor or not, and this may completely be false. I think I only read it on one site, and that is that the winner of the main event, the 5-on-5 Survivor Series men's match, it was rumored somewhere that the winner of this match gets to take a talent from the other roster, and that, if that's true, that makes me think that SmackDown has to go over. Because I can't see them taking their talent from SmackDown and putting them on Raw. Have you read that anywhere?
I have not read that, but actually, if that's the case, I can see, although it would make... I mean, it would make all the sense in the world, which means that it probably won't happen, but I can see SmackDown winning and picking up either Cesaro or Sheamus, hoping it's Cesaro, if that does happen.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. But this match right now, and we pretty much have the full roster on both brands. We have for SmackDown, we have Baron Corbin, Ambrose, Styles, Wyatt, and Orton. And they'll be facing Jericho, Owens, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and then that's one left open spot to be determined. What I want to ask you is, who fills that last spot?
Okay, so who do we have so far?
Chris Jericho, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman. So it almost has to be Seth Rollins, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, who else is left? He's a top talent, and he just fits.
Yeah. So with that being said, that's the thing. I don't see any way they don't put Raw over. Like you said, that's Vince's baby. They're going to end that show with the Raw brand being high. You know what? Roman's probably going to be the sole survivor there. Like, I can see him just serving up it being like 3-1 and him just going through the whole SmackDown roster. What do you think about that?
It's going to be one of two things. is going to be either Braun Strowman or Roman Reigns. I'm still thinking it's Braun Strowman only because the way they're building him. I think Roman Reigns gets like, you know, maybe like a double count out, double disqualification, and or, you know, some hokey shit like that. He's not going to get pinned, but he'll get eliminated somehow. Or it may be vice versa, and that happens to Braun Strowman. Maybe he gets into a fight with somebody, double count out. But I don't see Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns both surviving. I think it's going to be one of the two, and I think it will be Raw that goes over, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be Raw. If it's not, I'll be pleasantly surprised. Like, please, for once, WWE, shock the shit out of me with letting SmackDown go over, but it's probably not going to happen at all.
And yeah, just in the tag team division, I think. For women's and the men's is going to be Raw. I just have a strong feeling.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that's what we know about the Survivor Series card so far. I just wanted to pick your brain on that because, unfortunately, you don't get to talk about Raw that much. Oh, wait. We forgot the one match that I wanted to ask you about. Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. Who's going over?
Well, I've been going back and forth. I know I said it a couple weeks ago when we were talking about it. I predicted Goldberg to go over, but really, it makes no sense if Goldberg goes over because he's just here for a one-off thing. But something just tells me that he's going to stick around for a WrestleMania match. And I think they give him the win here because I really can't imagine Goldberg coming back and saying, yeah, I agree to lose. And I'm coming back for a one-off match and I agree to lose. So I don't know. I'm going to go with a wide one here, and I'm going to go with Goldberg that's going to win the match. But I'll probably switch before it's time back and forth 100 times. But as of right now, I'm sticking with Goldberg.
Yeah, yeah, I tend to lean that way also. I think it's going to probably be Goldberg. But let's just pray that this match is better than the first match.
Please, please.
Please, because I will go to sleep. Like, seriously, I will go to sleep. What I want to ask you about also. Were you worried that Goldberg actually killed Paul Heyman last night with that spear? Because his head was close as hell to hitting that bottom rope / turnbuckle. I was worried not because of the actual impact, because Goldberg, God, he looked slow and old. But the way that he landed, I was worried about Paul Heyman's neck or something there.
Yeah, if you're talking about the way he landed, absolutely, I was worried at first. But impact, absolutely no. Paul Heyman has gotten so many bumps over his career, so he's absolutely fine with that. But yeah, positioning and where he fell, but you know, I'm sure Heyman's all right, and you know, we'll see. This segment last on Raw was way better than last week's segment. Paul Heyman's segment was like 100 times better. The promo, you know, a week ago was just horrendous versus what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and so I mean, that's just wanted to pick your brain on those things. We did get announced, though, just to close the show. Already we have our main event for TLC, which is the next SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view, and that's going to be Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles in a TLC match. When that got announced, I went crazy, because if they give us AJ Styles and some of the Ultimate X matches and stuff that he's had in his career, and then also some of the stuff that Dean Ambrose has done when he was Jon Moxley, this match could just be crazy. Do you trust WWE to let this match be as crazy as we want it to be?
There's one thing that's going to decide if this match is going to be a great match or an okay match, and WWE needs to give these guys over like 25 minutes or more. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but these guys can't get 20 minutes or 18 minutes or some shit. They have to get 20-plus minutes, and if they do get 20-plus minutes, you know, I'm hoping 25 go on towards 30 minutes. If they do get that much time, I guarantee you, knowing what we know of these two guys, we're going to get something classic, especially being that it's a TLC match. But it's all going to come down to, are they going to give them enough time to tell a story? And if they do, we're in with some fireworks.
Do you think this may be a match of the year contender?
I think, again, if they give them the time, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, there is a chance that it is a contender, it is a candidate, but they have to give them the time. And I really hope they do give them the time, because these two work so well together. Even in their short matches they've had on Raw, they've done good stuff in the short period of time they had. Just give them 20 to 25 minutes, let them do their thing. They're both very talented. And again, you throw in that stipulation of TLC, we should, you know, we should have a match of the year candidate, absolutely, as long as they get the time.
Yeah, for sure. And Just in a little shout out, because I am a Chicago Cubs fan, and Garvin, who helps us a lot over at Fans Talk Family, is a Cleveland Indians fan. And right now, my Chicago Cubs, bottom of the ninth, up 9-2. The Cubs, who have not won a World Series in over 100 years, if they come back from down 3-1 to win the World Series, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be something epic. I can tell you that much. So, can't hear you, JB.
No, I said really, let me get in on this. How about if the Indians end up losing the World Series somehow and end up losing the World Series, you have to shave your head?
Not happening.
No?
Male baldness runs too hard in my family, so I do everything I can to hold on to my hair, and I'm afraid if I do it, it's not going to come back.
How about you mimic John Cena on Halloween and dress up like Nikki Bella? Did you see that video?
That's a whole year away. I can, because you'll probably forget, so I can agree to that.
No, I'm saying you do it the day after the Cubs win the World Series.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. That's not that bad.
You'll dress up like Nikki Bella.
I'll dress up like Nikki Bella.
Now I'm rooting hard for the Cubs.
All right, so ratings for SmackDown. I have one announcement before we get off and sell our goodbyes, but rating for SmackDown this week, 1 through 10.
Before I go into that real quick, because we didn't touch on this, I just want to say one thing I was very disappointed in on SmackDown tonight. Why the fuck were they showing clips of Raw? I absolutely hated that they were talking about Raw and showing clips of what went down on Raw. I understand it's the same company and blah, 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 but you're supposed to be warring and you're supposed to be going into like Survivor Series mode and us versus them, and they're showing clips of Raw. I don't want to see what happened on Raw. We see enough of 3 hours of that garbage on Monday. Keep it SmackDown. So moving forward, I hope they don't do that anymore. As far as my rating goes, I'm going to go ahead and give it a 6.5. I know I give 6s and 6.5s a lot, but I'm going to give it a 6.5, maybe even a 7 for what we got out of Ellsworth. I'll go with a 7. Let's leave it at that. We'll go at 7.
Yeah, I have to go right there with you. 7. And like I said before, 7 is pretty much for just normal TV. That's almost as high as I can go. So I thoroughly enjoyed the show. They could have did a couple things to bring it up to probably 7.5. But overall, SmackDown, as it has been since the brand split, is very, very solid and continues to be. And I just love this. I love the fact that after I record Red Zone, which I have a lot of fun recording Red Zone, but we talk about just some absolute shitty wrestling there, that I can kind of in wash my palate with SmackDown and talk about that. But my announcement is, so we're going to be doing a end of the year, match of the year, whatever. We'll work out exactly all of our rankings for the year and get the categories together. But what I wanted to propose to our fans and also to you, JB, I want everyone to consider this. How would you feel bringing in the new year, podcasting live?
I wouldn't mind it. I would have to check with my general manager, aka my wife, to make sure we don't have any plans. But yeah, I'd absolutely be down with that.
Yeah, I think that would be a fun way to bring in the new year, and we can also do a countdown. Right after the countdown, we start doing our results and everything and how we felt about match of the year. So that's just something I wanted to say out on the podcast, get that idea out. So anyone who hears this, send us feedback. Go to thewwpn.com, where you can send us a message right from the website, right there. You don't have to worry about emails. It comes right to us. We'll get to check it there. You can also send us an email if you are more inclined to do that, and that is at therussellworldcast@gmail.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, and that's the Russell World without the O-Cast on Twitter. JB, tell the people where they can find you.
I can be found on Twitter at WWPNJB, or you can always email me at the same thing, which is WWPNJB@gmail.com. And also, if for some reason you don't own a keyboard or don't feel like typing, you can always call and leave us a message at our phone number. It's the people's phone number, the WWPN Universe's phone number. You can call at 516-888-WWPN.
So that ends our show for tonight, and I'm pretty sure you guys know how I'm going to end the show, and that's thanking all our lovely listeners and fans and everyone who just continues to support us. Thank you to JB. Also, listen to all the Wrestling World podcast shows. Listen to Throwback which is our newest show. Listen to Next Level, which is hosted by the Andrew Bello, the only solo show on the Royal Wrestling Podcast Network, and he does an amazing, amazing job there. Red Zone, Blue Zone, Strong Style Central. JB, we have so many goddamn podcasts.
Throwback premiered.
That was the first one I mentioned. We had our premiere of Throwback, which we had a lot of fun recording that one. I think the next one, you guys are going to have even more fun. I have some things planned out that JB doesn't even know for that. And it's his damn show. I don't host the show. It's JB's show. So, definitely follow us there. But that is it. So if there's nothing else, I want to say thank you and good night.
Good night, everybody.
Got something to say, Junior? I didn't catch your name. It's Fandango. Fandango. Fandumbo. Fandunghole. Fandango, Fandangler, Fan Dodge Durango, Fan Sweet Mango, Fan Wango Tango, Fan Dingo ate my baby o, Fan B-I-N-G Bingo was his name-o. Oh!
Oh, okay, I see what you did there.